you had a good week? Good to see you all here tonight. It's just so good to be in the house. I was telling the guys this morning how good it is to be here in the house with you and not be at home in my office. They're teaching to the walls, but I would just imagine that you were watching. And I remember saying, I hope you're out there. Because, you know, you never know. They can like it and then take off and go have coffee or never, you know. But whatever it was, I had a good time with the Holy Spirit for over a year and a half in that office. But I got to say, God was good, and I appreciate the anointing. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about the Holy Spirit in you. And first, I want to tell you, I have a surprise for you. We're going to have three special meetings coming up. We are going to bring in Sherlock Valley. And yeah, you're going to love it. I mean, he's got some things. You know Sherlock. He's right up on relevant events. And he is coming. Now, this Sunday is Mother's Day. So don't forget to bring a mom or somebody with you if you want. That would be wonderful. And don't forget, every service we have, we can use to be evangelistic, to bring somebody that's never been to Landmark, to introduce them to the glory of God that's on our house. And I believe that every church has a personality, and every church has the glory of God fit for that house. Now, I believe it's increasing, but at Landmark's not for everybody, but it's for some. And we've got a town of about 60,000 people in some surrounding areas, so let's use that time to invite someone. Anyway, on the following Sunday morning, Monday night, and Tuesday night, evangelist Sherlock Valley is going to be here. His wife, Renee, is going to be here with him. And those of you, most of you, how many have not heard Sherlock Valley? A few of you haven't. Well, you're in for a treat. He's totally into end times, Bible prophecy, eschatology. And I'm telling you, he just knows what's happening. I said, Sherlock, my brother, we need you to come and tell us what time it is. You know, the sons of Issachar knew what time it was. Now, I said, we just need you to come in here and tell us what's happening with Israel, what's happening in this world, what's happening in this darkness, and what's happening in the glory. And if you want to hear somebody preach on the Holy Spirit, you should hear him speak on the Holy Spirit. It's just not prophetic end times that he speaks. So take a look at our website. You can read more about it. I don't think we have that up yet, but he has sent us a little information today, and our Facebook will be talking about it too. So invite everybody you know. Now, I got a call the other day from the Seventh-day Adventist Church inviting us over for something they were having. I thought, well, I'll go ahead and call a few pastors and invite them to what we're having, because this isn't just for Christians or sinners, but it's for all of us. In fact, the other day when I told him, we need to, you know, I want you to come in here and tell us what the Bible says about where we are. What's the end time events? And he said, and we're going to look for souls in these meetings. So praise God. All right, I want you to turn over to the book of John for just a moment. And I want us to start at the book of John. I am not working out of that Holy Spirit book I thought I was going to today, but the Lord led me somewhere else. So briefly, let us go to the book of John. And I'm not going to have scriptures above for you tonight. Sister Kathy isn't here. But if you have your Bibles or your phone, I'll give you time to get those out, because you need to either write these scriptures down. Most of them are very familiar. But let's start to read in John chapter 5. And I'm going to read, I think, from verse 1 to about verse 9. Hello to Brother Roman in the back, in the security zone, watching over us. God bless you, my brother. All right. John 5. Can I tell you this before we go there? When we were in Israel, we went to the pool of Bethesda, which is just, now archaeologists have dug up the remains, and there was cisterns in the ground. And Pastor Wayne was in the hospital, and our guide said, the Baptist brother said, the guide said, who wants to talk about this area? Does anyone want to bring the word? Well, I waited upon the the Baptist pastor that went from Missouri, I preferred him first because he was there, and then Pastor Wayne's son-in-law, who's the senior pastor of the church. And they didn't say anything, and the Baptist pastor turned and said, "Pastor Paulette, would you like to?" And it was burning in my heart. This is one of my favorite pieces of scripture, and it's been turned every which way and upside down, inside out. But when we were there, there was a special anointing that came, and so I was so honored to get to stand at this very spot. But there's a twist to it now because of America and the situation we're in. I see a lot of scenarios and pictures here. Chapter 5, verse 1. "And this, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time to the pool and stirred up the water. And then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. How many years? That's a long time to be sick. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, because Jesus knows everything, he said to him, 'Do you want me to make you well?'" What a question. "And the sick man answered him and said, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another man steps down before me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made well, and he took up his bed and walked. And that day was a Sabbath." Now, you would think that everybody just went berserk and just was praising God and giving him glory. And many were. And the sick man and his family were beside themselves. But by the time you get down to verse 16 and down to verse 18, it said they sought to kill Jesus. You think they liked it? No, these bunch of Pharisees, Philistines, no. They sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. So some are so religiously correct that they would rather kill Jesus than break one of the laws. Verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal to God." People don't want you talking about God like that today. Well, we can say he's our Father. We know him. We spoke with him this morning. We spoke to him this afternoon, and we've already talked to him tonight. And guess what he did? He received our praise. He received our worship. And these little boxes over here, he was right there to receive our love gifts. Midweek love gifts, right there. Now, I want you to take a look at these. I believe I can safely say by the word of the Lord and by the Holy Spirit that this is a picture of America today. I want you to look at the kind of people that were laying there in verse 3. Now, in the Old King James, it says there lay a great multitude of impotent folks. Impotent is very weak and cannot produce. But in the New King James, it says there were a great multitude of sick people, look, and blind people, and paralyzed people, just waiting, hoping for a moving of the water, just hoping that something will change. Let me talk about the blind people today in America. There's an impotence in America. There's a very, very weak, darkness brings weakness. It brings cowardice. It brings fear, and fear produces weakness into people. Now, not only are there many, many people today where the Bible says in Luke 21 and about 28 that men's hearts are failing them for fear for looking after all these things that are coming on the earth. So these people were literally sick. They were sick in their bodies. There's more cancer and pandemic and all different kinds of diseases and HIVs and AIDS and things that we've never even heard of. Brand new diseases this day. There's many, many sick people. But before we go much farther, let me show you another scenario. The Bible says there were how many porches? Five porches. This was at Solomon's temple. There were five porches. Now, today as we were there, there was just five holes. It looked like holes, big cisterns or holes or wells in the ground. And yet there were five of them. And the number five, for those of you that studied anything at all, you know that that number five means grace. And if you know about the dispensations of God, you know that now we are living in this era, in this time, in this generation, the end time people, we are in a period of grace. We are in the dispensation of grace. So they were at number five. Here they are, right here. And the sick people are there. Look, and the blind. What did Isaiah say? What did Habakkuk say? And Haggai? They've said, without a vision, people perish. My people perish. One pastor said to me not too long ago, he said, Pastor, I've just totally forgotten what my vision is. I said, oh, brother, you better not. You better get back over there to God and refresh it or get you another vision or do something, but you cannot let that vision go. You'll become blind in the spirit. Another pastor told me a few years ago from San Diego, he said, I don't even know if I hear God anymore. I said, brother, that's so serious. You'll be deaf before you can turn around. Deaf and blind. You will be a deaf mute. Folks, we can't afford not to hear the Spirit of the Lord. You say, well, I don't know if I hear him. Oh, no, yes, you do. And I pray in the next few weeks we will come together closer to the Holy Spirit than we have ever been. So there were sick people there with all kinds of diseases at that time. There were the blind, I mean literally blind, that couldn't see. But in this time that we live in, people have lost their vision in the church. They talk like the world, act like the world, look like the world. Deadness within their own life, deadness in the church, paralyzed. Now, you see the governor of Texas sitting in that wheelchair. He is paralyzed from his waist down. There's another kind of paralysis, and I was in that once when I was a young woman, young teenager, and that was the paralysis of fear. I didn't know if it was anxiety. We didn't really know what that depression and fear was in those days, but I look back and I really think it was nothing but anxiety attacks, and they were serious and they were mean, and they just literally almost paralyze you from wanting to go out or go anywhere. They will just plain stop you. And so he said these people were paralyzed at this pool. I mean, they couldn't move. They couldn't get up to walk. They just couldn't do anything. And then they were just waiting there for the moving of the water. And then we didn't mention the word lame. I think the old King James calls it the halt. The halt means stop. And you'll see lame people that have a hard time walking and they're limping for some reason. And some real crippled up people that are very, very lame. I'll never forget back in the, oh my goodness, I think it was in the 80s, there was a lady on the 700 Club, and I'll never forget her testimony. She said she had a dream that night, and she saw something coming upon the church, and she didn't know it was the church, but in her dream she was transported to an ER room, and in the ER room there were very sick people, and there were crippled people, and there were paralyzed people, and she said, Lord, what is this? And she said, is this an emergency room? And he said, no, it's my church. It's my church for those who have lost their way. They've lost their vision. They've lost their spirituality. They've lost their holiness. They've lost their expectancy for Jesus coming back. They've lost their first love. They've got other partners. They've got other things that fill in the gap for him. They're spiritually lethargic. They don't care about the things of God anymore. They care about other things more. These are the kind of people that were at the pool, but this was a physical condition for them. But today, there is this kind of condition that's been upon the church for years, but you know what? The good news is there's also an awakening. This awakening, I mean, I think everybody right now feels this stirring, whether they're in the church or out of the church. And the body of Christ for sure feel this awakening. Man, I'm loving the comments I get from you because we know and we can sense when the Holy Spirit is beginning to rise up among us, and we know when our spirit's being awakened and risen up, rising up, right? So we know these things. So when the lame people are hopping along, they're just hopping along, not walking in the Spirit because they can't walk in the Spirit. Well, they could, but they really don't want to because they're just too wiped out, too tired, too fearful, too something. Because this global pandemic, has knocked people off their, knocked them off their what? Stool, off the, off, well, I wasn't going to say off the rocker. Off their vision, maybe. Rocking on the edge of fear and paralysis. And we can't do that. But I do see God doing some things here. So let me go on, because I don't want to stay right here. Now, look at this. It's going to surprise you a little bit. For an angel, verse 4, angel went down at a certain time of the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever stepped in first, after the stirring, remember that word stirring, and stirred the water, of the disease was made well, whatever disease he had. Now, that word, stirred, I think in the Old King James it says troubled. The water was troubled. And when you look in the Strong's Concordance, this is what I said you're going to find kind of amazing. That word stirred is a Hebrew word, if I'm saying this right, terasso, and it means troubled. It means to be unsettled, to stir up, to agitate, to disturb, and again, to trouble. So the water was stirred up. The bubbles were either coming from underneath the ground. But according to this, there was a natural stirring once a year. But there was also the stirring of the angel, that God sent the angel down to stir things up. Now let me go a bit farther, because the Hebrew words just has multiple words, more than the Greek, a lot of words. But this word here is also a mental agitation that comes from fear of perplexity and upheaval, which tells us, and the man's answer in the next verse, look what he says down in verse 7, I have no man to put me into water, and when the water is stirred up, while I'm coming, another man steps down in front of me. So you can tell his spirit was agitated. He was upset. I've been coming down here every year, and it's never my turn, and I don't like it. And, I mean, he was so paralyzed, and he had so lost his vision, and he was so upset at the stirring of the water. The Bible said that the water was troubled. And I believe the Holy Spirit's trying to pour out of his spirit. And there's a lot of people agitated and tore up, and they're in such an upheaval mentally and agitated that they may miss it when it comes. Which, I mean, he never goes away. He's always with us. And he said, come in boldly. And I'm so thankful that we could go in anytime, 24/7, and he's always, always there for us. But we who have tasted the glory and seen it, we know there is so much more. And once you have tasted, you are never happy until you taste again. Once you touch him, you are never happy until he touches you again. or you touch him again. And that's what we're after, church. And that's what we must have, not only at Landmark Church, but all over the globe. His glory will fill this earth as the waters cover. Hallelujah. Cover the sea. He had a mental attitude. Why did he have a mental attitude? Why did he have this perplexity? That means confused. Again, Luke 21, 25 said the sun and the moon and the stars will be in distress and perplexity will be upon the nations. It says the ocean will throw its waves with perplexity. Man, we haven't seen too many tsunamis, and I hope we don't see another one. But we saw that horrible, horrible tsunami in Indonesia. It was absolutely unbelievable. But I remembered that scripture that said the waves, the winds and the waves will be coming forth on the earth with perplexity and upheaval. And this man's looking at this, and he's like, not knowing who Jesus was. He was about to miss it because he didn't realize who Jesus was. And this miracle worker, what's the song we sang? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And that same miracle worker says to him, do you want me to make you whole? That was the right question for anyone. And the poor old guy that was so angry at being in the place he had been for 38 years, he had zilch, no hope, nada. I don't have any hope. Don't talk to me about hope. What do you mean? You want to make me whole? What do you mean? And then you see who he was depending on. Verse 6, written in red. Do you want me to make you whole or make you well? And the sick man answered, the wrong answer, as they would say on, what's that game show, Jeopardy? Wrong answer, wrong answer. The sick man answered, said to him, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But when I'm coming forth, another one comes before me. Sir, I have no man. You've got young single women today that just have to have a man. I have no man. Got young single men. I have no woman. You got people, I have no money. I have no children at home anymore. I have no one to help me. I don't have. That isn't what Jesus asked us. He didn't say, do you have someone to help you in case I can't? He wasn't about that. He didn't want to know who you had in your circle. He doesn't care. Jesus, I don't have the education. Art, what if he called you to be mayor of the city or governor of California? Don't you dare tell him. I don't have any political sense. Well, you know, he probably won't call you, but he might. You never know. You just tell him, yes, Lord, I'm going. I'm yours. I have no man. Are you kidding me? You've been like that 38 years? I mean, couldn't he tell that this man was different? Anyway, we'll just move on. Verse 8, Jesus said to him, 7 words. Rise up. Rise. Take up your bed and walk. And suddenly, there must have been an anointing on Jesus, which we know there was, and we know where the anointing came from. It was the power of the Holy Spirit inside Jesus. And when Jesus said, rise, take your bed up and walk, this old man suddenly, listen to me, church, he came into an awakening that this man was different than everybody else. And that's because he had something on the inside. Remember after the Holy Ghost came, Peter and John said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, rise up and walk. They said the very same words that Jesus said after the Holy Ghost came. Now Jesus had, he was full of the Holy Spirit. That's how he said it. But Peter and John and all the disciples didn't have it in this way until after he went away and the Holy Ghost came. So this picture of America, listen to this. This is good news. This word Bethesda also means the place of outpouring. The place of outpouring, Bethesda, because that's where this old man's healing was poured out. Believe me, when God touches you and delivers you mentally, like he did me from that anxiety or fear, depression, whatever it was, you come into a place that you didn't even know existed or you had forgotten existed. Woo, it's a wealthy place, I'm telling you. When my husband and daughter passed and God had brought me up to this new place I didn't know existed, I'm going to tell you, it was the wealthiest place I'd ever been to. And it was all because of the Holy Spirit. So we begin to talk just like Jesus. See, when Peter began to say the very same words that Jesus said, Peter and John, the disciples, they begin to talk just like him. Rise. I don't have anything, but you can have what I've got. Rise and walk. And the old man knew there was something. The guy who was crippled in his feet. He was crippled in his feet. He hadn't walked in years. But he knew there was something in their voice. And if something is in the voice, it's in your heart. And when they said, rise and walk, well, he just got up and walked like this guy did. And the Pharisees did the same thing. They wanted to take them out. But see, this thing is powerful, church, because Jesus had just left the earth. But the powerful thing about this move of God is that Jesus is soon to return to the earth. Jesus is coming back to the earth. So he's going to touch everybody that will allow his touch of the Holy Ghost on us to take us into a new place for not just us, but for other people. All right, let me show you Luke 4 and 1. Where are we at? Oh, no, I'll just tell you. Luke 4 and 1 says, Jesus went into the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost. All right? He goes into the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost. And you go down a few verses, and it said when he came out, listen, he was tempted of the devil. He was tempted of him. Jesus was hungry. He had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry, and he was tempted to disobey God. He was tempted, jump off. He'll give his angels charge over you. He was tempted to quit. He was tempted to jump out of God's will. I'm fed up. I don't see anything happening. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm throwing in the towel. That's what the devil wanted him to do. He was tempted to say, hey, why don't you trade partners? God's not doing you any good. You're just going to go to a cross. You're just going to go to a tormented, torturous death. Why don't you just end it yourself or bow down to me? You see all that kingdom? I'll give you my kingdom. He's not giving you his. Satan will come with total backward words from what God is speaking to us. But he didn't give up. He didn't change partners. It seems to me like today a lot of people in the church have changed partners. They used to hang with God and his people, but you'll hear that their children have changed partners. They've changed partners. Other interests, more interest over here and all kinds of things, excuses and things. It's very dangerous, by the way, everybody. It's very, very dangerous. But Jesus overcame Satan how? By the power of the Spirit. It says in 4 and 1, Luke 4 and 1, he went into the wilderness how? Full of the power. I think it's about verse 14. It says he went into the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so it's very important how we go into a challenge. Very important how we go into the fire. Very important how you go into a struggle. I'm telling you, you better be prayed up and ready to go up. Because when you get in a bind, man, it's good not to have to go do a crash course in prayer and fasting. Because you're all ready. I love to be able to tell God's people when they're facing something, you're going to be all right. You don't have to go plant seed. You don't have to go try to pray your way in. Or you don't have to pull off a big 10-day fast and prayer right now. Because you're doing it all the time. You're prayed up. So 14 says he went in, verse 1, he went into the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost, but he came out, how? Full of power. Today you'll see people go into a situation one way, and when they come out, they're just dragging. oh, Pastor, pray for me. I just can't take it anymore. I'm just ready. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. Just like a dish rag, you know, limp rag. I know things get tough, but when you can go in full of power or full of the Holy Ghost, I promise you, you will come out full of power. So this is why we must have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen, church? Because Jesus was hungry and he was tempted and all of that, but he overcame Satan just what, like we see Paul's words. Now, you do have to turn with me to Acts 10:38. Though you have this memorized or whatever you may have, please go to Acts 10:38 just so you'll know it's still on the printed page. Remember when Jesus said, if you went and read a little farther down in Luke, remember when he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He was in the temple and it says he found where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord God is on me. He has called me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted. So why did Jesus come? To preach salvation to sinners, to destroy the work of the devils, to heal the sick and afflicted, and to loose the chains of those that are bound. He said, that's why I came in the power of the Holy Ghost, and that's how I want you to live down here. All right, Acts 10:38, look at this. If you don't have this memorized, you should memorize it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, the old King James says Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. How was God with him? By the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God lived and dwelled in Jesus and gave Jesus everything Jesus did, all the miracles Jesus did, he did it by the power of that Spirit. And if Jesus needed to be baptized, it said God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Look at that. And with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. So if Jesus needed an experience where he was anointed of the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's purpose and defeat the devil, what makes us think we don't need to be anointed with the Holy Ghost? Amen? Sure. We got to be just like that. We can't face these spiritual challenges and this crisis and this day that we're in. Don't ever try to face it. I'm telling you, don't try to face a day without that same anointing with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, church, I'm telling you, I'm glad that God has called us to live in this very hour. I am. I'm thrilled that we live in this most important hour of spiritual destiny that the world has ever known. We've never known any kind of spiritual destiny like coming upon this earth right now, except for the early church. And I can't say it enough. Now, last week I told you, last week or the week before, that God had spoken to my heart and said he was calling us to a new spiritual territory. Now, I don't know how many of you caught that or got it in your spirit, but you need to beware and you need to pay attention, because you yourself are going to come into a new spiritual territory that you've never had power in before. I mean, there's revelation that will come out of this word, and you're like, where did that come from? And our faith, there's these seeds that are planted in us, in the seed of revelation where this word, it's like a rhema word. We know rhema word, but it comes off. But the revelation of it is going to be something that causes other people to take note of who you are and what you're saying and what you're doing. And when you say be healed, it'll happen. Because they know there's something in you besides your inside. They know there's something more than your soul. There's your spirit, but there's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, when Sherlock gets here, I learned this from him. I heard him say this years ago. He talked about, probably the last time he was here, about spiritual acceleration. And I don't even think it was accelerating like it is now. I mean, it's like, And we are so blessed. Don't you think we're blessed to live in this hour, in this day? Hallelujah. But God is bringing us into the fullness of what he has purposed for his church. He has a huge purpose for this end time church and for his end time people. De Leons, you have no idea where God has taken you. You have no idea what he's going to do in your life. Not just you, but all of us. But there's something special. You've been faithful. You stayed strong. You stayed straight. And we'll see what he does. Because everybody's going to have a part in the body of Christ in this purpose. Because he is pouring out new strength where? Into our inner man. Isn't that where we need it, Larissa? Oh my gosh, how we need strength in our inner man. God, strengthen my inner man, my soul, my spirit. It's not so much, I don't even think it's so much that we get tired on the outside. I think it's the inside. Because you battle with the voice of that lying spirit that does not like it when Jesus said, be healed, and he rose and walked, and then they wanted to kill him. Well, God says, that's too bad, because I'm doing a mighty work among my people. And, of course, it can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you right now, church, God wants his people to operate in the same way that Jesus and the disciples did. He didn't plan that we walk in any less power than the disciples and Jesus himself. Jesus died to allow the Holy Spirit to come down here and bring the purpose of the Holy Spirit to come and help us do the works that he did. In fact, he said, greater works than I do, you're going to do, because there's going to be all kinds of different diseases and things on the earth, but I'm calling you to do it. Now, I closed my Bible. One more scripture, and then we'll close. But look at Romans 8:11. Let me prove everything I've said to you tonight. Right after the book of Acts, Romans. Oh, I love this. I'm glad God put this in our Bibles. It's Bethesda time, church. It's the time of the outpouring. To restore the sick and the weak. Who will restore them? We will. You will. I will restore the weak. Restore their visions by the Holy Spirit. The crippled, the sick body, the sick soul, the sick spirits that don't know whether they're coming or going. You ready for Romans 8:11? Look at this. Romans 8:11. How are we going to do this? But if the spirit of him, God, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, you need to underline these next two words, will also. That means with Jesus. The one who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That's how he's going to do it. Through his spirit that dwells in us, the same Holy Ghost that got Jesus up out of the grave is the same power of God, the same spirit that lived in God. Same spirit that raised Jesus up, and the same one that's going to quicken our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. We don't have to do it by ourselves, church. Woo! Stand with me tonight. Let's just take it upon that account. I'll tell you this. God is still using miracles, and he's going to use them more and more to confirm his word. He's going to confirm this by the power of the Holy Ghost and through healings. And don't be afraid to pray for people. It's not our responsibility. It's not, that responsibility doesn't lie in us. It lies in the Holy Spirit. He's the power. Hallelujah. I want you to just come with me. Let's spend a few minutes in prayer before we go, asking the Lord to baptize this entire church in the Holy Ghost. Father, I bless your sweet people at home and all over. We're going to spend a few minutes in prayer. But you at home watching, I bless you. Would you pray with us as we go off the air right now? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine on you. May he be gracious to you and keep you this week as you go to work. And I just pray, Lord, that your countenance would rest upon us. I give you praise this night. Give us peace in our homes and lives. Baptize us in the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you. Good night, you guys. We'll see you Sunday morning. Come for Mother's Day. Amen.